just before I open the word this morning, last week we looked at where's your fork. If you missed last week, think, what on earth is he talking about? Just go online and you can listen to where's your fork. I trust you all know where it is and what you're holding on to in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's just watch this little clip.
The briefcase is opening soon on Nine.
Okay, well, trust that some of you, have you seen that advert? Advertising that of this show that's coming, I think it's actually starting tomorrow night. We're not actually showing you that to promote the show. In fact, I actually don't think the show's a very good idea. It's a model on a show that started in May in 2015 in the United States, and by December, they canned it. They canned the show. The viewers just dropped off. And if you watch it tomorrow, you'll probably realise, yeah, I think I understand why it dropped off. But it's all about this briefcase. The idea is that they find some really needy families, and apparently the families on tomorrow night, a lady that's lost all her limbs through an infection and had to have all her limbs amputated, another family that lost everything in bushfires, lost a business, lost a livelihood, lost everything. The idea is that you get a knock on the door and you're given this briefcase, and this briefcase is, open it up and it's full of cash, and $100,000 of cash. I'm not sure the Australian show is $100,000. We're probably a little bit cheaper. Here might be $10,000. I don't know. Maybe it's $100,000. But in America, they had $100,000 in the briefcase, and they gave that to another person that was a desperately needy person, people that were in really dire straits. And to have a briefcase full of cash, it'd be a life-changing thing for them. The only thing is what happened is that they were told that 3 days later, over 3 days, they were told that there's some of this other family that were in a desperately needy situation. And then they had a choice. They could actually keep this briefcase for themselves, or they could give some of the money, the contents of the briefcase, to the other family, or else they could actually give the whole lot of money away to this other very needy family. And that's the whole premise of it. So people that are in desperate need themselves, this could be a life-changing thing, and they're given this briefcase, but then they're told of another situation of other people in desperate need, and this could also change their life. Now, what each of them doesn't know is the other family, they also got a briefcase, and it's all full of cash, and they're given the same challenge. They're told about this other family that's in desperate need and really bad situation. And the question really comes down to is, what are you going to do with your briefcase? That's what I'm really asking us this morning. What are you doing with your briefcase this morning? But they've got a choice. They can either keep it all to themselves, keep a portion to themselves, or give the whole lot away. In America, the very first show that they had, and when they signed up, they didn't even know what they were signing up for when they filmed the whole thing. The very first one that they did is the first family. They heard about this other needy family, even though their dire situation, they gave everything to this other family. And the other family over here, they heard of the other family over there, and they gave everything away over to them. So very happy. They actually end up with $100,000 each at the end of it. But that was the first show, but slowly it began to change. Another family were very generous. They give everything over here. But this family over here suddenly thought, hang on a minute, this is quite a bit of money, $100,000. And so they decided to actually just give away, I think it was about $20,000, kept $80,000 for themselves, and ended up with $180,000. The other desperately needed family went there. And so it went on with people just, people became very, very selfish, people giving very small amounts away, and as I said, people lost the whole thrill of seeing desperately needy people being played off one against the other. And so, as I said, I won't be a fan of this show, and I don't intend to watch it. But the point I want to get across out of this is that they have this briefcase. Now, just imagine this is you. You're at home. You're sitting there. There's a little knock on the door, and you open the door, and you open up, and there's a briefcase full of cash. Now, around here, you probably think it's just a drug deal gone wrong, I suppose, but wrong house. That was for the neighbours. It's all right. They've got it, not us. But just imagine, anyway, you're given this thing of cash, and you're looking at this thing of cash, and then you're told of actually, you can do one of three things. You can either keep it for yourself, keep part for yourself, or give it all away. Now, I want to tell us this morning, every one of you has actually been given a briefcase. And but the briefcase that you have has got more than $100,000 in it. It's got more than $1 million in it. You've been actually, the Lord has placed in your life, in your hands, a briefcase of unmeasurable value. And I want us to understand that, first of all, that we've got a briefcase, but then we're going to have a choice of what you're going to do with what you've got. Let's have a look at 1 Peter 3:5. I want us to have an idea of a little bit what's in this briefcase that I was handed when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, when I said, Lord Jesus, I ask you forgiveness for all the sin and all the things that I've done wrong in my life. I want to turn away from that, Lord, and I want to live the life that you have for me. I want to be everything you've made me to be, Lord, and I want to apprehend the work of the cross, Lord, that I can have a new life and have a destiny, a hope and a future, and that I can have eternal life with Jesus Christ. It says this, it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ of the dead. That's what communion is all about. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. That's you. Did you know you're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time? And we know that Jesus died on the cross. We know he rose again. We also know that Jesus is coming back again. And so we have this incredible inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And as I've been sharing across earlier this year, it's not just when we die. This is an inheritance that we have for this life, for the here and now. You have incredible riches given to us in Jesus Christ. And people think becoming a Christian is a good get-rich scheme. You may never have earthly wealth, but you have wealth far more immeasurable in value than anything of this world. You have the Lord himself. He is our richest and greatest treasure. But we have amazing resources in the things of God in terms of the power of the Spirit in our lives and called of his blessing upon our lives, the grace, the mercy, all of the things that he's poured upon us, the love that he has poured upon us in overflowing measure. You open your briefcase and it's just full overflowing with love. God has poured so much into each and every one of us. And he, when we became a Christian, he said, look here, here's your briefcase. And unfortunately, some people don't even open the briefcase. They pray a little prayer and run off and go back doing their thing. They didn't actually, the immeasurable riches, the treasures that I found in Jesus Christ. And really, that's a part of our Christian walk, part of the journey that we're on, is to understand, wow, finding out the amazing things that God has put in there. The value, the treasure, the immense worth that he has given us. And of course, the greatest inheritance, the greatest treasure we have is in Christ Jesus himself. But every one of us, when you became a Christian, you got a briefcase that is full beyond a measure of the wonderful love of God, his grace, his mercy, his blessings, his provisions, all of these things that you have in your hand. And as I said, I trust you've opened yours. And you might have, wow. But when you have a look inside and when you dig into the Word of God, and which is really helps you to open up and really see, when you hear the Word of God, you begin to see, wow, what an amazing thing that I have in Jesus Christ. What an amazing life that I have. What amazing things that he has given me. And as I said, our life is one of discovery of how awesome this is, what he has for us. But more than that, it comes down, then we come to the question is, what are we going to do with our briefcase? Because we can do one of three things. And I trust you've opened yours. You've given your life to Jesus Christ. One of three things is you can either say, I'm going to keep all of this for myself. And the sad thing is there are people who live their Christian life with the briefcase and they actually keep it all for themselves. There are some people that say, well, I was desperately needy and I need this. So I'm going to keep some of what God has given me. I'm going to keep all of this stuff and some of this, but I might give some away. Maybe begrudgingly, maybe because I feel I have to, because they say I've got to. So maybe they share a little bit of love. Maybe they serve a little bit. But really, they want to keep really most of it for themselves. Some people have a heart, and that is, I'm just going to give it all away. And I'll talk about that in a moment. There's an interesting Ephesians 1:3. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. As I said, we have an abundant briefcase here. Every spiritual blessing we have in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing. So we're full. We've got an amazing resource that's been placed into our hand. But what about other people? Because it's so easy to look at our own self and be so aware of your own need. If you're someone, you've had all your limbs amputated, I would think that you were feeling that you're in a lot of need. I mean, isn't that a desperately needy situation? If you're someone, and as this show will be tomorrow night, someone has lost absolutely everything that you own, all of your clothes, all your furniture, your house, your business, your livelihood, everything, you're in a desperate situation. And it can be very easy, because part of the nature of man, part of humanity, is that we're very selfish. We want stuff for ourselves. We want things for us. We want it for me. And really, I suppose, when you're in that situation, that's really where the test is. Because like, if you were a multimillionaire, if you had Bill Gates there and you say, look, here's $100,000 in a briefcase, he's going to think, oh, it's the petty cash tin. Like, you know, it means nothing. You might go out and buy some lunch with that. Oh, lunch money for today. And so they freely give it away because he realizes that he's got everything. But someone who's totally got nothing, and they realize they got nothing, and suddenly they're given something, and think, oh, wow, this is for me. Now, the thing for us that have become Christians, we've looked at our own life and we've seen, yeah, look, I've been totally destitute. I've had, like, all my limbs are chopped off. I've had no hope. I've been hopeless. I've been helpless. I've been lost. And you are lost without Jesus Christ. And so we know what it is to feel like that, to feel like we've got nothing, that we have nothing, and that we're hopeless. And without Christ, we certainly are. But then all of a sudden, we come into the kingdom of God and we're given this incredible blessing, these spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and it's put to us. And then what do we do? Because the sad thing is, some people will hold that to themselves. And I see people in life that hold on to those things. There's an interesting story in Numbers chapter 32. Now, you know the story, and we heard about in that genealogy that you heard this morning. And you would have heard part of the heritage of the children of Israel and coming all the way through and all the way ending up with Christ. And we know that that there was a promised land that had to be conquered. And the people of Israel, they were enslaved, they were in bondage. And Moses was one who was caught for the burning bush. He was one to lead them out of captivity. And so they went... walked around wandering around in the desert, and finally a generation died up. But there was a land to be conquered. They conquered some land, but there was land to be conquered on the other side of the Jordan. And at Numbers 32, there was three of the tribes who, they actually got their inheritance. Okay, so you got the Jordan on one side, you've got east of the Jordan, you've got the west side. And there were some tribes have already got their inheritance. They'd actually got it. They didn't want to have to actually cross over the Jordan and the other tribes. They had all their inheritance still to be taken, still to be conquered. And so three of the tribes, that they said, look, we're happy here, actually. Thank you very much. This side is some nice fertile valleys, and we don't really want to have to cross over and go into that land over there and to fight all the battles that we might get that inheritance. We're happy with the inheritance that we've got now. Thank you very much. And so they go to Moses. Moses gets very stroppy with them, in fact. He says, guys, and really lets them have it. He says, your ancestors were the ones when they spied out the land, and they're the ones who gave the bad report. Moses is really unhappy with them, because what they wanted to do was say, no, we want to keep our inheritance. Don't worry about all those who don't have their inheritance. I'm happy where we are. Thank you very much. We've got this fertile land, and we want to settle here. And unfortunately, some of us as Christians, we can do the same sort of thing. We can say, well, I've got my inheritance now in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved. I have no fear of death. I know what will happen to me when I die. I have a full life. I have an abundant life. And thank you very much. But in Numbers 32, this is what they ended up saying. Because when Moses Shalom said, guys, you've got your inheritance, but what about all those who don't have their inheritance yet? What about ones who don't have what I've purposed and destined for them? And they finally come to this point of realization, and they made this pledge and this promise. We will not return to our homes until each of the Israelites have received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan, because our inheritance has come to us here on the east side of the Jordan. And so they faced the briefcase dilemma, if you like, because they were confronted with, well, here's your inheritance and you've got it already. But there's the rest of the tribes, they haven't actually come into their inheritance yet. And as Christians, we have it. You might think, oh, I've got so many needs and so many things, and we have reality of life and we have our struggles, but God with us and he's helped us. But at the end of the day, we've got the briefcase. We've got the promise of God. We've got life. We've got blessings. We've got love. We've got grace. We've got his mercy. We've got his provision. We've got the fact that he's always with us. What a treasure is that? We've got all of this stuff, and yet there's a whole lot of people out there who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know the inheritance that they can have in heaven. And so we can be a little bit like them. At first they were saying, Moses got pretty stroppy with them, saying, guys, hang on a minute. And we can say, well, hang on, but I was in need and I'm in need. And so that's the thing. For some, when they've been desperately needy and realize they're desperate, how lost they are. And you'll see that with a new Christian. Sometimes that they realize how desperately lost they are, and they find the great treasure, the pearl of great price, as the scripture says. They come into the faith, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They run out and want to tell everyone. But see, some people, after they've been around for a little while, might have done that initially, but now, no, I'm just want to enjoy this briefcase, because there's challenges in life, there's pressures in life, and I need all this stuff just for me. But it's not just for us. What the Lord has placed in your heart and in your hand and in your life, it's not just for you. It's not just for you. And that's really the message that I want to share with us this morning, that what are you really doing with what the Lord has placed in your life? Are you one who doesn't, I don't even bother opening the briefcase anymore. I just get up, go to work, and yeah, I'll rock out on a Sunday, but during the week I never open the briefcase. I never open up the things of God for myself, but certainly never to share them with others. What are we like with what the Lord has placed in our hand? What are we like? Is it we all think everything's just for me, and thank you very much, I'm very happy now, and praise God, I have the Lord in my life, and I'm saved, and I'm forgiven, and I'm healed, I'm set free in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for my briefcase. And no one's ever going to take that briefcase off you, by the way. It's been given to you. He's given the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. But what are we going to do with that? There's another interesting story. Just before I get on that, in Galatians 3:8, it says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed by you. And actually, for every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, God actually has that expectation with us, what we're going to do with that briefcase. It's one thing to be on a reality TV show with millions of people watching. What are they going to do with what they've been given? But we have the audience in heaven, in fact, the Father in heaven, and he's looking and saying, what are you going to do with what I've given you, what I've placed in your hands? What are you doing with what I have given you? What are you doing with it? And we've given it that all nations will be blessed, the people will be blessed through us, that we will be blessed to be a blessing. That's what it's for. It's for you, for sure. But there's so much in that that God has given us, that there's an abundance that is for us to share with other people. And this other story is found in 2 Kings chapter 7. And this is a story where the city of Samaria, King Ben-Hadad, came to siege the city of Samaria. And it was a long siege. Sieges were terrible things. There was no going in, going out. And they might have a few months' supply of food. They might have a year, maybe have 2 years of food, however long that they have. But after a while, the supplies start dwindling. People get very desperate. They start eating their dogs and their cats, and the rats, they'll eat anything. Food becomes very, very scarce. And the siege is going on and on and on. And it's, you have to be very, very wealthy just to be able to buy something, to have anything even to eat. And so there's this siege going on, this army that is surrounding the city of Samaria. And then outside of the town, which was custom for lepers, because lepers, they don't mix with people, they're not allowed to. They've been cut off and ostracized because of the leprosy. And there's a bunch of lepers there that are there, and they're watching, and they're seeing this unfold. They're not in the city, so they're not besieged. And they're aware what's going on there, that those people are going to eventually be starved to death or be slaughtered. They're going to lose in that situation. And there they are. And so this is when these four lepers, this is where we take up the story here. It says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, why stay here till we die? If we say we'll go to the city, a famine there, and they will die because there's not food there because of the siege. And if we stay here, we're going to die because they've got no way of getting any food either. So not a very good situation for these four lepers. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. So we might as well go surrender to the people that are besieging the city. And if they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will die. That's very insightful, isn't it? If they kill us, we will die. And so basically they think, well, we've got nothing to lose. We're lepers. We can't look after ourselves. We can't feed ourselves. And there's not food coming from the city. Nobody's doing any farming. There's a siege going on. And so they go there. So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. So there's this big, massive camp that this army was supposed to be in. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and the horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled at dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. So God had caused this incredible confusion. These four little lepers going up, somehow they think there's this army coming and they all just leave. And so they just abandon everything that is there in their camp. And the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and they, wow, these guys, this is amazing. And it says that they ate and they drank. And so they're having a feast. They took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them because the army just left everything. Everything. They just ran for their lives. And so there's food, there's gold, there's silver, there's all this stuff. And they went there and they took a whole lot of this stuff and they hid them. They returned and entered another tent, took some things and hid that. So these guys start to loot the camp. Now this is a massive camp. They're going to be there for the rest of their lives trying to loot this place. But then they start to get a little bit, something begins to twig their consciences. That there's all these people that are just out there in the city and they're all starving. And as far as the people that are under siege, and they think there's no way out of this, they think that they're stuck in this, and they think they're going to die like this. They think this is what life is, and this is going to be the end of their life. And yet these four lepers, they realize that, hang on, suddenly we've got the answer here. There's everything that they need is actually right here. And here we are, even though we were lepers, and even though we were sinners, even in our situation, we've now come into, if you like, all the abundance that the Lord has. We put it in a briefcase, call it a camp, whatever you want to call it. The Lord has put so much within our lives. And initially their reaction was, man, we're hungry. We need this stuff for ourselves. And then they begin to take some and let's hide it and store it all away. We'll ferret it away for ourselves. But then something began to hit them. A realization began to hit their lives, began to realize something. And this is what they began to say. And then they said to each other, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. But it says, this is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. And I'd say that to each and every one of us. We know what the good news is, amen? Word gospel is just good news, the good news of the gospel. If you say the good news of the gospel, you're saying the good news of the good news. It's the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The people that are under siege, that they don't see any way out, they don't have any hope, they think this is where I'm going to die, and it's hopeless. They're trapped in bondage and lost, like surrounded on all sides, and people that don't know Jesus Christ is exactly what it is like. And yet we've come into this abundance that we have in Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants us all to have that realization. This is the day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. And my challenge this morning is, what are we like? Are we like the ones who've suddenly come into the things of Christ? And this is amazing. What an amazing thing it is to know the blessing of God, to know the security that He's with us, that He never lets me down, that His love is always there. Doesn't matter what I go through, the love of God is going to be with me. The Lord is going to cause me not to be a victim, but I'm going to be a victor, and I'm going to walk in victory in every circumstance of my life because of Jesus Christ, because what He has given me. And so here we are. You can either see yourself as being one that's in this abandoned camp, with all of the treasures and everything that's ever needed is there, and there's a city of starving people that are in bondage. You don't even know. That, isn't that the tragedy of that? They're still all there, and they're probably still eating their shoes and whatever else that they're trying to eat, trying to get something because they're desperately in need, and yet it's all there for them, and they don't even know. And they won't know unless someone tells them, and they won't know unless we tell them. Unless we realize this is a day of good news and we can't keep it to ourselves. Someone needs to go and to tell them, go tell them, hey, there's actually a provision here. There's actually a way out of you being trapped and bound in that situation. There is actually an answer. This is a day of good news. How can we keep that to ourselves? And so my message and my challenge is very simple for us this morning. You've been given, you've been put this incredible briefcase in your hands, into your life. And be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you one that, I became a Christian, but I didn't really change my life, and I never really opened that briefcase. I thought it was nice and shiny. I think, man, this is the nicest looking briefcase I've ever seen. It is shiny, and it's even got little gold bits on it, and it looks absolutely amazing. Wow, thank you, Lord. But I never actually really opened that. I never really explored what God has for me, never really opened the Word of God and allowed it to penetrate in my heart and life. Maybe you like that this morning. Maybe you nominally said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you never really grabbed a hold of everything God has. If that's you this morning, my prayer is that you're going to open up that briefcase. You're going to see the immense treasures, the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Because it'll blow you away as you begin to see. And I said it's a lifetime journey of discovery what's in this briefcase. And maybe you're someone like that this morning that you've never really done that. You've acknowledged it. Well, praise God, I've got a briefcase. And it's a nice and shiny briefcase. But you've never opened up and allowed God into your heart. Never explored the Word of God. Never allowed Him to show you the riches of His treasures that we have in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're one that I've opened this up, that man, this is amazing. To be loved of God, the creator of heaven and earth, that He would love me so much that Jesus would die on the cross for me, in my place, for my sin. Wow, that is amazing. That He's always there. He loves me and He's always there. His heart is for me. His plan is for me. All that He has for us, His blessing, His grace, His provision, His mercies, which are new every morning, that they're for me. And maybe you're there. This is great. But then begs the question, what do I do now? The question is, what are you doing now? Are you keeping all of that to yourself? And see, what happens is in that silly game show, is that when they open their briefcase and they took out a certain amount and they gave it and said, all right, okay, I'm going to give some of this away. They open up and they take some of it out and they give that to someone else. And okay, here you are. Whether it's graciously, begrudgingly, I have to do it, I should do it, okay, I better do it, or whether there's a joy in doing that, what a blessing to be a blessing. Whatever the heart motivation is, but at least they do that. But they come back and they look at their briefcase, now there's somehow less in that. Well, see, what we've got to understand is that what God has given us, as we give it away, is never diminished. It's never lessened. If you give away, if you serve God with all your heart, you're not going to be diminished. You make sacrifices for the kingdom. Do you think you're going to be diminished? In no way are you going to be diminished. You'll actually be expanded in that. I think if you're going to give away love and grace, that you're going to have less love and less grace for your own life. No, in no way. In fact, the scripture says, give and it shall be given to you. In increasing measure, pressed down, shaken and running out all over. Now, people like to use that for money, but far more than just money. It's the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. It's the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And are we giving that to other people? Are you sharing your faith? Are you sharing your faith? Because if you're not sharing the faith, you've got you're in the briefcase. Oh, what a wonderful briefcase. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given me. But if you're not sharing your faith, you're doing exactly that. And if you'd say, how could someone do that? How can we not tell the people that the siege is over, that there is an answer for them? How could the person that's desperately in need, surely that's selfish if they're going to keep all of that themselves, but we do that. Or some of us, we might have some degree of conviction, and maybe some it's out of joy, and as I said, maybe because, well, I feel like I better do it then. And so we give a little bit away. But that's all we're prepared to give. Because, you know, I've got a life too, you know, and I need things for myself, and I've got to look after me, and, you know, I've got to look after myself, and I can't just give everything away. I can't just do that. I've got to look after me. And that selfishness that is a human tendency can even be in our own hearts, even when it comes to the things of God, because we're not giving it away. And if we're not actually freely sharing the things of God, we're not sharing our faith, we're not showing people the love of Christ, like it or not, we're in the briefcase, and we're not the cat. We're not maybe keeping it all to ourselves. Maybe think, well, I'm doing something because I'm giving something away, but our heart needs to be, Lord, I'm just going to give it away. You know, we sing a song, I'm giving it all away, away, away. We sing that song, don't we? But how many of us really do that? How much of us is saying, I give it all away, away, away? Or I give it a little bit away. What about our heart? Our heart is, Lord, I'm going to give it away. And I can never be diminished. As I said, the more that you give the love of God, the more that you share your faith, the more you tell people the siege is over, you don't have to live in that situation anymore. You actually find more and more what's actually in there. More and more you touch the treasure of God in your own heart and life. You're never diminished when you serve God. You're never diminished when you're sharing faith and allowing others. So what's your briefcase this morning? I want you all to do a little checkup and just see and say, well, am I sharing my faith? Am I going to work every day faithfully? And I've never told anyone, one of them a Christian, but I've never cared enough to really tell them about the love of Jesus, because they're starving in the siege, and here I am just yum, 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 this is really nice, and it's all for me. Or do we have such a heart? I trust that we are ones that we have the heart and saying, no, this is not just for me. There's people there. And like those first people on that show in America who gave everything away, that we will give away. And as I said, as we give, we're never diminished, because there's an endless supply that we have. The riches of God are beyond measure, and they're endless, and they're always for us. So let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray for us, and I want you to have a look at your own heart and say, well, what am I doing? Really, what am I doing? Where am I? Am I a keep it to myself person? Am I just to share a little bit, or am I going to give it all away? And I pray and trust that every one of us, our heart is saying, no, Lord, I'm actually going to start telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. And it's great that you show them love. You need to do that. You need to tell them. You need to preach the good news. It needs to be spoken. And so I pray that we have those open and free and generous hearts with everything that God has poured into our lives. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that every one of us that has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, has given so much in our lives, Lord, that you've invested the very treasures of heaven. You've invested the person of Jesus Christ, the power of your Holy Spirit that is within each and every one of us, Lord, that we have treasures and riches beyond measure, Lord, far beyond even what we know and understand. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've placed that in each of our hands. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, is still living life under siege and doesn't realize that there is an answer, Father, I pray this day they'll have the courage to come forward and say, I need that. I need Jesus in my life. I need what to place all of those things in my own life, because I'm desperately needy. I need those things. Father, I pray you give them courage to come forward this day. And Father, if there's anyone here, Lord, that they've been to church and go along, and whether it's regularly or occasionally, whatever it is, Father, but they've never really opened up the things of God to their life, Lord, in a deep and meaningful way. Father, I pray you give them the courage this day to say, Lord, I'm going to open that, Lord. I'm going to open and see all that you have for me. But Father, for all of us here, Lord, that have come to Christ and, Lord, have tasted and seen the wonders and the riches of the glory of God, Father, I pray, Lord, every one of us, let us have a free and extravagant heart, Lord, that graciously gives the love of God freely. Lord, that we're free in our forgiveness, free in our love, Lord, that we're free and speaking forth the word of God, Lord, that we'll tell people about Jesus Christ, Lord, that we're not hoarders, but Lord, that we're lovers of God and lovers of people. And Lord, we freely expend ourselves, Lord, we freely give that people might come to know you, Lord. We give of ourselves, Lord, that they might know Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for that, Lord. Let us open hearts. Let us be an open-hearted people, Father, that always, always, Lord, are giving out, Lord, always reaching out, always touching people's lives, Father. Let us be such a people, Lord, because there's an inheritance that's not just for us, Lord. There's other people that need to come into their inheritance. And Father, let us be ones that go ahead, Lord, and tell them about the inheritance that is found in Jesus Christ. So Father, we just thank you this day now in Jesus' name.